Hey, everybody. Today on Charlie Kirk Show, is Trump going to be the nominee in 2024? Rachel Bovard explores that topic. What are the cities we need to win in 2024 and improvements we need to make? And finally, Herschel Walker joins the program about a chance for redemption in Georgia. Email me freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast, The Charlie Kirk Show. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Come to America Fest, everybody. Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Kayleigh McEnany, Greg Gutfeld, Steve Bannon, Tim Pool, Matt Walsh, Laura Ingraham, the best lineup you could possibly imagine at amfest.com. That is amfest, amfest.com. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. It'd be very interesting, you know, if I was a liberal talk show host, which, by the way, liberals are very bad at talk radio. There's a whole theory behind that. It's very interesting. Liberals have tried to get into the talk radio space for years, and they've been unable to do it. Because part of talk radio is correcting the lies and correcting the false narratives and kind of being contrarian. And obviously, the Great Rush was the pioneer of it. He created the medium. And so, if I were a liberal talk show host and I asked all of you, email me, you know, transgender@whatever.com or whatever email they would have, or justice@charliekirk.com or whatever it would be, and I'd say, what are you thankful for? I mean, the more time you spend with the left, the more you realize that they are not a grateful people. You have to be ungrateful to be on the left because they want to change everything. If you are filled with gratitude, you want to conserve it. You want to slow down. You have appreciation for what came before you. Anyway, I'm just so touched by these emails. And you can keep on emailing us, freedom@charliekirk.com. What are you thankful for this Thanksgiving? It's one of my favorite days of the year, the day before Thanksgiving, where everything just shuts down so people have an opportunity to spend time with family and with friends and to be in a posture of gratitude. I love it. Joining us now is Rachel Bovard, who wrote a very interesting piece for the New York Times, What Makes Trump Different from DeSantis and Other Republicans. Rachel is with us right now. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Rachel, why don't you summarize the piece for our audience, and we'll dive into it from there.
So the piece really looks into what I think is the appeal of Donald Trump, and I think people in Washington, particularly establishment Republicans, and even sort of the, what I call the conservative intelligentsia, miss this. And this is exactly the dynamic I saw play out in 2016. And it's going to play out again in 2024, because people in leadership of the Republican Party have no idea, still have no idea why it is that Trump won. And it is this visceral connection that he has with his base voters who trust him implicitly. And interestingly, Dave Chappelle honed in on this, I think, really well when he was hosting Saturday Night Live recently. I don't watch Saturday Night Live personally, but I caught this clip and I thought he articulated it extremely well. He said, look, I live in Ohio. You people have no idea why Trump is so popular there. And he said, Trump is what I call an honest liar. And what he meant by that was, you know, he pointed back to this debate that Trump had with Hillary Clinton in 2016, where, you know, Trump basically said, look, I know the system is rigged because I use it. And that was just, I think, distilled to its essence, the why people trust Trump the way that they do, because he said out loud, as a beneficiary of someone at the top of the system who benefited from how it's kind of rigged and corrupt toward the top, he said out loud what everybody at the bottom has long suspected, which is that the system itself is rigged. And because he benefited from it, he had tremendous credibility in pointing that out. And so people, I think, who vote for Trump really see him as someone who can upend the system because he's been part of it. But now he stands outside it, and he is able to take it on in a way that nobody else has been able to do. And in a way that is, you know, people who try to do it within the Republican Party are just so distrusted, because for years and years and years, they told their base, hey, vote for us. We'll get control of illegal immigration. You know, we'll fight for you on the cultural issues. We'll protect your jobs from going overseas. And they did the exact opposite. So Trump still has that connection with his base. And I think people that try to overlook it are just missing it intentionally or because they just haven't been curious about it. But it's a dynamic that I think can very easily play out again in 2024, which is why I think Trump could easily win the GOP nomination. Not to say that Ron DeSantis hasn't done amazing things in Florida. I think he has, but he's sort of untested on a lot of these issues. And I think he's going to have to define himself there if he wants to have a shot at winning the nom.
Yeah. So I'm starting to retreat from the prediction business as it kind of went miserably for me the last 10 days. However, I do say the one prediction that I will remain very loyal to is I don't see anyone that could beat Donald Trump in a primary. I mean, he is built for a Republican primary. He understands the language, media savviness, the money he would raise. He has an unbelievable connection with the base that I think would only expand. And the recent poll seems to reflect that. And there's another thing that Donald Trump embodied, and you mentioned this, which is he used to be a member of the elite and the ruling class and kind of a defector from it to then kind of turn it against the elite ruling class itself, as if the only person that could fight the ruling class is someone who actually has come from the ruling class and he knows all the different sore spots and weak spots to be able to go after it. And so what do you think is then the current state of play then in this Republican primary? Polling aside, what do you think is Donald Trump's greatest weakness going into this primary?
I think his greatest weakness is if we see, you know, Trump still being held or being attached to personal grievances that he has with the system. You know, what he was able to do very well in 2016 is point out that the system was corrupt. And I think, you know, just as we've discussed, do so in a very convincing way. This time around, what I think he has to do is when he holds on to how he was thwarted during his presidency, you know, how the sort of deep state bureaucrats, right, the sort of fourth estate administrative state came after him, you know, how he feels about the 2020 election, the way in which to talk about that that's compelling is to say, look, they came for me because they're ultimately coming for you. Mm-hmm. And he has to, I think, bring that message back to the campaign trail. If he makes it solely about sort of himself and, you know, how he feels aggrieved personally and doesn't attach it to that larger message of I can protect you from the system that's coming, I think that he has to be able to do that, you know, to I think propel himself forward. If it's just about personal ego, I don't think that's a big liability for him, I think.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think people are casting far too wide of a net when we think about the 2024 election. You know, people say Trump can't win, Trump can't win. The question is, can he win Kenosha County? Can he win Waukesha, Wisconsin? Can he do better in Cobb County? Do better in Fulton? Do better in Chandler, Arizona? Do better in Mesa, Arizona? Do better in Ahwatukee? And do better in Central Scottsdale and North Phoenix? Literally, it's down to not states. We're down to seven cities. If Donald Trump can do better in seven cities, he wins another term. Because look, here's what we do know. In a general election, Donald Trump will win Florida. Donald Trump will win North Carolina. Donald Trump will win Iowa. And Donald Trump will win Ohio. Pennsylvania is a whole different ball of wax. I think that one we really were able to get from the Democrats in 16. I'm not as bullish on that. But if Trump wins Wisconsin, Georgia, Arizona, he gets the 270 electoral votes. Michigan, I think it's a tall order right now. That alone. The question is, and Rachel, here is the challenge, can Donald Trump win those kind of upper middle class, center right voters in the suburbs of Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Phoenix?
You know, I'm not in the prediction business either, but I do think if he can make a compelling case that he is still different from every other Republican politician that has promised voters something and let them down again and again, then that is the message that won him the presidency in 2016. I think he could do it again if he's able to present himself still as an outsider to that system and willing to take on the old shibboleths, challenge the old orthodoxies, and really stand up against the left's cultural aggression in ways traditional Republican politicians just flat out won't, then I think he can win those voters. But that's, you know, he's got to present that in a clear and compelling fashion.
Rents are soaring at unprecedented highs. If you're renting or have a friend or family member that is, now is a great time to make the move to homeownership. Look, you got to own. Renting, that's great reset stuff. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian at Sierra Pacific Mortgage have helped so many people make that leap from renting to owning, with lots of programs that offer first-time buyers assistance with little to no down payment needed. I encourage you right now to visit my buddies, their website. They're great guys. They're Christians. They're conservatives. They love the Lord. AndrewandTodd.com right now. The thing I love about these guys is it's not about the transaction. They're helping you create a plan to help you reach your goals. Give them a call or go to their website, AndrewandTodd.com. With today's still historically low interest rates, it's easier than you think to become a homeowner. I've relied on them, and producer Andrew has as well. I highly recommend you take action now. And if you know someone paying rent, tell them about Andrew and Todd. Go to AndrewandTodd.com and tell them the Charlie Kirk Show sent you. Rachel, who do you think in the kind of current GOP primary field is kind of, DeSantis looks like he may or may not run, Pence, Pompeo. I mean, do you think that any one of them have a serious chance based on what you've seen to make a serious kind of campaign in the coming year and a half? I mean, believe it or not, everybody, just so everyone knows, we are like a year from now, we're going to be talking about Iowa. Just so everyone is clear.
Why you got to scare me like that?
I know. A year from now, we are going to be talking about Iowa caucus strategies. I just want to just terrify the entire audience. There is no time off. To give you even a scarier thing, this summer, the Iowa State Fair is going to be filled with GOP presidential candidates pretending they like deep fried butter. That's what's happening this summer. So, Rachel, we are a year out from Iowa fascination. Incredibly hard to wrap my head around that. Who could possibly challenge him?
So I'm very interested to see this dynamic play out, because I think you very much are going to see a bunch of Republican candidates engage in this regression to the mean. And by that, I mean, they're going to pretend that Donald Trump never happened in terms of his policy shifts in the Republican Party, in terms of the more populist approach he's given to Republicans. And I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans, you know, sort of head pat that without actually offering anything significantly new. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you kind of see Nikki Haley in this vein. I suspect Pompeo's in this vein. I'm very interested to see how Mike Pence navigates this as part, you know, of the Trump administration. Does he embrace Trump's heterodoxy on things like trade? Is he going to be more skeptical of corporate power? Is he going to embrace a more working class agenda for the Republican Party? And if so, what does that look like? You know, I think Ron DeSantis has probably the best record at aggressing on some of these issues, particularly on the culture war. And I think he's living proof that if Republican politicians actually stand up firmly against leftward cultural aggression, it can be a winner. I love to see that. You know, and I think I said it in the piece, I think he has well-deserved plaudits, you know, for all of the steps he's taken in Florida. But I do think he right now, and it's not his fault, but I think he suffers from the establishment Republicans in DC embracing him. People like Paul Ryan, people like Wall Street CEOs, people like David French, and even National Review to some extent, they don't understand how distrusted they are as by the base of the Republican Party. So I think their embrace of DeSantis is actually hurting him.
Yeah,
it's not DeSantis' fault.
Yes.
Right? But it's not his fault, but he's got to, if he can, make some rhetorical distance between himself and these people, because they are hurting his candidacy. He's going to have to grapple with.
I can't tell you how many people have texted me. They said, Charlie, I'm kind of sick of Trump and fatigued. But the more that the moderates embrace DeSantis, the more distrusting of DeSantis I am. And
like, right. And it's not his fault. I want to make that clear. I don't think he's courting these people.
No, I don't either.
But he has got to address that. And I think that will be a problem for him moving forward unless he's able to create some distance.
I agree. Rachel, great commentary. Come back soon. And a year from today, you and I will be talking about Iowa caucus strategy. Oh, that's horrifying.
Say it ain't so.
I know. Thank you so much. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Look, you've helped build the wonderful MyPillow into the incredible company it is today. And I got to tell you, the things that they have, like the 6-piece towel set, the 2 bath towels, the 2 hand towels, the 2 washcloths, game changer. The bed sheets, boom, knocked down to $29.98. But look, orders placed now through Christmas will have an extended money-back guarantee through March 1st. It's an amazing way to end your year and do your Christmas shopping and support the wonderful, the amazing, patriotic Mike Lindell. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code KIRK. Call 800-875-0425 and use promo code KIRK. That's MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. The bed sheets are marked down as low as $29.98. And believe me when I say this, you'll get a great night's sleep. Mike Lindell is a great friend, a patriot, someone I really respect. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. That is MyPillow.com. Support this show and Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code KIRK. So someone says, Charlie, this is actually a really good question. Charlie, what have we learned and what is our strategy? Look, a movement that does not adapt, a military that does not adapt, an organization that does not adapt will die. It's that simple. You must always constantly be adapting and improving. And one thing that we have to learn from is in Maricopa County, if we just all broadcast election day, election day, election day, it doesn't go well. You get sabotage, ambushes, all this nonsense. So instead, and I want to make sure I'm very clear about this, the ideal way how we want elections to operate is different than what we have to navigate. The ideal, I would love to have a national day where everyone goes and votes. Voter ID, one day of voting, that's it. The way France does it, you know the winner by the election night, but that's not the world we live in. But so if you live in Georgia, I would not recommend voting by mail. But in-person early voting, in-person early voting, go get your vote banked. We need the entire America First, the entire conservative movement in Georgia. I could tell you there's going to be shenanigans and nonsense and all of this, but we have got to get Herschel Walker across the finish line. This is the difference between the Democrats having a reliable 52-48 Senate or a 50-50 Senate. And with the 50-50 Senate, you're going to have Sinema in a tough re-election fight and Sinema with hopefully a tough primary challenge that seems to be bubbling up in Arizona with Congressman Gallego. And also Joe Manchin, who's going to have a very difficult race if he decides to proceed. Joe Manchin just might go become a lobbyist where it looks as if the popular governor Justice might run. Morrissey might run. There's a lot of different people in West Virginia that will keep pressure on Manchin. So this Democrat 50-50 majority won't really even feel like a majority. And the 2024 Senate map is great for Republicans. And yes, we got to make changes. We got to get rid of McConnell. We got to do all sorts of things. But you know what? We got to be focused on solutions. We got to be positive. And I know a lot of you right now, you are waiting for a chance to have that proverbial one more football game to rinse the bad taste out of your mouth. I certainly am. And boy, I think Herschel knows exactly what I mean by that. And Herschel will be with us in a second. You know, in football, if you have a bad game or you lose, let's just say because of a bad referee call and you just know it wasn't right, you are counting down the minutes to the next game. You just can't wait. You want to get that bad taste out of your mouth. And no better way to propel our movement, no better way to say, you know what? We didn't like what happened in Arizona. We're still fighting in the courts and we're going to ask for a revote, but we have a legitimate chance to flip a Senate seat in Georgia. Like, I understand that some of you are burned out. Too bad. We got a country to save. We got a republic to save. Like, oh, Charlie, I'm just so doom and gloom. Then go find another country because we're up against the forces of darkness. We're up against some very serious people. We've got to get Herschel Walker across the finish line. The guy is working his tail off. He's working the state. He's popular. I'm not even looking at the polls. I'm done with all these predictions. Charlie's Herschel going to win. I don't know. Herschel could win by 5. He could lose by 20. I don't know. What I am saying, though, is that if you are in Georgia, go vote early in person. I am now going to try to adjust from this last nonsense that we just lived through Maricopa County. I'm not going to live with myself if I have to see another email from a senior citizen where she said, Charlie, I wanted to vote, and I was not able to vote because of the two-hour line in Maricopa County. Two-hour line. First time since 1981. So what if we now adapt and adjust and say, okay, let's go do in-person early voting. In-person early voting is secure. Voting on election day is better than that, but honestly, we have now got to embrace the new rules in front of us. If every conservative in Georgia rises up and goes and votes in person and early, Herschel Walker will be a senator. And then it will not functionally feel as if the Democrats are controlling the Senate. We'll have the House. It'll be 50-50. That means we'll have 50-50 assignments on all committees. And it will dramatically improve our chances to take the U.S. Senate for good in 2024. Every one of these victories matters. And 50-50 is shared leadership. It's shared time. And by the way, any one of these senators could resign at some point. Sinema could resign. Manchin could resign, or at least not serve out their full term. Unlikely that Sinema would do that because it would put the entire Senate in jeopardy. But the point being is things can change. And by the way, we have a great challenge coming up in Montana in a presidential year, which John Tester usually does a lot better in midterm years than presidential years. John Tester, I think, is going to get a very serious challenge from Congressman Rosendale. So we've got to win this. And this is a great opportunity. I think a lot of us are saying, Charlie, we have got to be able to spark plug our movement. This is a chance. Someone says here, Charlie, I refuse to vote early in Georgia. It gives them a chance to harvest more ballots before Election Day. Okay, Carol, that's fine. That's your choice. I'm learning from what just happened in Arizona. I'm not going to let it happen again. I saw points left on the board in Arizona because people did not vote early in person. I'm not going to put up with that. Ron DeSantis largely won because of in-person early voting. And by the way, let me be very clear. In the ideal, I want to get rid of all this early voting, this mail-in. I want to get rid of all of it. But you got to live with the game that is in front of you. And the game in front of us is less than ideal. But I want to win, and you should want to win too. So how do we win? Especially for senior citizens, people that might not have as much time on their hands, go vote in person and early. If you look in Florida, for example, Florida that has secure elections, and by 9 p.m., we knew Ron DeSantis had won convincingly. By mail in Florida, 2 million people voted by mail. Charlie Crist won the mail vote. Not the mail vote, the vote by mail vote, 54% to 45%. But where Ron DeSantis crushed Charlie Crist even more than by Election Day was early in person. Look at that graphic. Early in person, which can be done securely. I'm not talking about vote by mail. I'm not talking about throwing your ballot into the mailbox. I'm talking about going on a weekend, which is now available thanks to Mark Elias, going on a weekday and saying, I'm going to vote in person. Early. I'm going to beat the lines. I'm not going to allow them to be doing all this nonsense. And you might say, Charlie, oh, come on. I'm telling you, what I saw in Maricopa County, I am never going to allow happen again with my commentary, and you shouldn't either. 3-hour lines, machine tabulation errors. Someone says right here, Charlie, I voted on game day in Georgia, but now I'll be voting early in person. God bless you, Kelly. By the way, we cannot stop. If you're saying, Charlie, I just did not feel totally satisfied with how these midterms went. It's not over. There's 2 minutes left on the clock in the fourth quarter. Let's pull this off. Dan says, Charlie, there's no way the powers that be could pull off the same thing in Georgia that they did in Arizona. If we adapt and adjust, we are just playing into their hands. If people listen to you, we just sacrificed Election Day only to be screwed in a totally new way. You are telegraphing a different move. You are smarter than this. Dan, I disagree. He did say this, though. Okay, old people and busy people can vote early, but no one else. Okay, we agree with that, Dan. An unknown amount of people in Arizona never cast a ballot because of the chaos that happened on Election Day. If you're still a game day voter, I prefer game day. I totally get it. We have got to broaden the appeal of voting in person and early in these elections. And so, look, this is an opportunity for us to get a victory that could propel us into 2024. All the nonsense from this last election aside. And Herschel Walker joins us right now. Herschel, welcome back to the program.
How are you doing?
Good. We're talking about why we need to take this Georgia runoff incredibly seriously. Tell us about how things are on the ground. Tell us about the energy you're experiencing. Give us an update.
Well, you know, things on the ground is going well. We getting people out knocking on doors. We're letting them know that right now that their vote really counts. That they got to get out and vote. Get out and vote is very, very important. Right now, holding Chuck Schumer still is this seat here. Georgia can do that. So what people got to do, they got to get out and vote. Got to have their vote counted. And, you know, I think Senator Warnock is going a little bit on the crazy side because now I think he's being exposed for not being the senator he claimed to be. So I think he's being exposed a little bit, and he doesn't like it. But I think the truth is the truth, whether you like it or not. But the people are responding to it, and I feel that we're going to win this race, and I think we're going to win a lot bigger than what people think.
Yeah, so Herschel, what is your message to people that are saying, you know, oh, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, you know, I don't have time for this? Herschel, you're probably the best college running back of all time. You don't have a lot of sympathy for this idea. It's fourth quarter time, isn't it? It's time for us to finish stronger than ever before.
It is fourth quarter time, but what time it is? It is time for people to wake up and do exactly as not what your country can do for you, but do what you can do for your country. Because if you don't get out and vote right now, the United States of America that we used to know would be erased. We would have an open border. You know, the left believes in an open border. You see what's happening right now. You're going to have crime getting worse. Crime going to get even worse because you see what's happening right now. They don't want to respond to it. Inflation is going to go up even higher. You're going to see men and women's sports. You know, you're going to see them bringing CRT into our schools. Right now, the America you used to know would be erased because it's seen that we have weak leaders in Washington that do not like America. They seen that like everyone else except America, and they assume we here in America are terrible people that they want to punish us, and they keep telling us that we got to put up with the pain. I think people can realize this when they see that utility bill. This is what is happening because on Joe Biden and Raphael Warnock watch, this is what's going to happen to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So, Herschel, really quick, what's the website for people to support you?
The website is teamherschel.com. So go to teamherschel.com, and if you can contribute to the campaign or if you know people on the doorknob, I tell your friends, get out and vote. We got to win this election for the great people of Georgia and also for the great people of the United States of America.
Look, the Georgia runoff is a straight turnout race. It's that simple. We've got to get our base to turn out. Is that right, Herschel?
That is exactly right. We got to get the base to turn out. People got to turn out and vote. Do not think your vote is not going to count because this is turnout. This is people going to the polls. If they love America, if they love, smaller gas prices, they love smaller grocery prices, they love men out of women's sports, they love securing this border. They love everything of the makeup of the freedoms and liberties we have. You got to get out and turn out and vote. Vote for Herschel Walker. Senator Warnock has proven that he is not a conservative. He's proven that he's going to do everything to destroy this country, to destroy Georgia, and he's been doing it in 2 short years. And that's what people need to think right now. If you don't want to get out and vote, think about in less than 2 short years where we're at right now. And that should make you want to get out and vote. We're good people here, and we can do even better, but we got to do it together.
I want to play a piece of tape here and get your reaction of Joy Reid saying that runoffs are designed to hurt black people from winning. Play cut 64.
Because it feels like they want a puppet. It doesn't seem like they want a scholar.
Sure. It will be interesting to see what the motivation to vote now for Herschel Walker to, you know, sacrifice all of your principles to vote for a hypocrite, dumb candidate like Herschel Walker. I think it continues to be insane that you're even having a runoff.
We can do a whole segment. I'll have Roland back on to talk about why there's runoffs, because there's a reason for that. Why it's, you know, it's to make sure black people couldn't win.
To make sure black people couldn't win. Maybe someone should tell Joy Reid who's running in the race, Herschel.
Well, you know what's so strange about that, Charlie, and it's sad that it has become a race issue when it comes to voting. Everything become a race issue where we've had so many great leaders have fought for us to have rights to vote, and we do have a chance to vote. One thing that Joy needs to realize is that in the last election, in my primary and also in my general, more African-American and brown people voted than ever voted before. And if there's anyone that know that didn't have the right to vote or not given the right to vote that was black or brown, let me know, because I fight for those rights as well. But for people to stand on television or on air and say things like that is disgusting. And, you know, at the same time, I love to debate Joy Reid. Senator Warnock, he's a slick talker, smooth dresser guy. But in that debate, I took him to school because he found out a lot of things he didn't know. And I can do the same thing with Joy Reid any time of the day. I think people sit on TV and to talk is easy to talk. But I've been a man that have worked my whole life. I built companies. I've signed in front of a paycheck. They've never done any of that. They don't know how to do it. I do. And I said, any day of the week she want to debate, she can show up here and I'll debate her as well. On any subject, she come up with the subject and let's go at it.
When is the runoff, Herschel? Tell us again.
The runoff is December the 6th. So I want everyone, they got early voted. So if you can get out an early vote, which is the 28th, start the 28th. But also December the 6th, make sure you turn out to vote because it's not just turning out, it's turning everything up. We have to win this election to stop Chuck Schumer. We have to win this election to stop the left agenda. We got to win this election to get America back together again. We got to win this election so I can row the boat with Brian Kemp, and we're going to head in the right direction to get things right started again. Because I can promise you, Herschel Walker will fight.
I know that. I know that for certain. We have got to rally behind Herschel, everybody. It needs to be a nationwide effort. Herschel, thanks so much, and keep fighting.
Hey, thank you now. Go to teamherschel.com. God bless. And Charlie, I love you. Keep fighting.
Thank you, man. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're behind you. God bless you, Herschel. Thank you.
Thank you now.
I could be honest, I have a bad taste in my mouth about this nonsense that's happened in Arizona. It's not sitting well with me, but you got to force yourself to keep going to work and to keep organizing. Man, when I get these emails, Charlie, I couldn't vote first time since 1981, it drives me nuts. Okay. But what do? We got to find solutions, and then we have a real opportunity to win. To win in Georgia. If every single person in Georgia got the attitude that we are going to get to victory, we win. Donald Trump got 500,000 more Republican votes than Herschel Walker did this midterm. That means there are 500,000 Georgia voters out there that didn't come out in the midterms. 500,000 that came out for Trump but did not come out for Herschel Walker. Arizona, very similar. There are people still sitting on the sidelines that did not come out and vote. We got to get them out there. We have to have an attitude for victory. I know it's tough. I know a lot of you say, oh, Charlie, what does it matter? Knock it off. We got to be focused on winning, on victory, so we have some momentum. We can unseat Raphael Warnock. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.